Nuclear power has been firmly in the news this month as we mark the anniversary of the Fukushima power plant failure, the result of an earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan on the 11th of March 2011. The Fukushima plant was commissioned back in February 1971, and reactor technology has developed considerably in those 40 years, with new designs being safer and more efficient. Even now, new breeds of reactor are capable of closing the nuclear cycle by generating electricity at the same time as dealing with the problem of radioactive waste. One of these is PRISM, that stands for Power Reactor Innovative Small Module, and that's been developed by GE Hitachi, and we are joined by their chief engineer, Dr. Eric Lewin. Eric, thank you ever so much for joining us. I wonder if you could start off by saying, what's the push to need this technology?
Ben, thanks for having me on your show. I would say the push is that as humans grapple with different energy sources going forward, the PRISM technology represents a different fuel source that has vast potential to generate a lot of carbon-free energy.
So what is the PRISM reactor itself, and how does it differ from a traditional nuclear reactor?
PRISM reactor is not too different from a conventional reactor in that it still does the basic fission process of breaking big atoms in half to extract energy. The PRISM technology came from work that General Electric started in 1981, and then the U.S. government funded a advanced liquid metal reactor program. And so at this point, the technology has really had three decades worth of development that we feel is ready to be commercialized in different market segments.
So how does it actually work? So we need, obviously, a radioactive source, but it seems that the PRISM reactor can use a far wider range of sources than the reactors that we're used to seeing. How does it take that reaction and turn it into useful energy?
Ben, what's unique about the PRISM reactor is that when a large atom, such as uranium-235 or plutonium, breaks in half or fissions, it gives off neutrons that are at a very high energy. And in our current commercial reactors with water cooling, those neutrons are slowed down or they lose their energy very rapidly. And that limits the amount of reactions you can do. So in the PRISM reactor, we use sodium as a coolant. That keeps the neutron energies still high or relatively fast. And that allows us to use different fuel to fuel this. And that's where the potential of this energy comes from.
So why would sodium allow things to remain faster than using water as a coolant? What's the advantage?
Well, as we know, water is made up of three atoms, oxygen and then two hydrogen atoms. And hydrogen atoms have one proton in the center, and they're about the same mass as a neutron. So when we have a fission reaction that occurs with water cooling, that neutron comes and strikes the proton in the water and slows down and gives off its energy because they're about the same mass. So it'd be similar to playing billiards where the cue ball, the white ball, hits the eight ball and it transfers its energy. With sodium, because it's a bigger atom, it has 24 protons and neutrons in the center. When that neutron hits it, it typically bounces off and keeps its energy. So analogy that I like to use, if we look at the Earth's orbit, it takes us 365 days to get around the sun. The fast neutrons in a PRISM reactor would go around the sun if it followed that orbit in 73 hours. If we look at the slower neutrons in a water-cooled reactor, it would take 8.3 years. So it's a big difference in energy that we have, and that's why we can use different fuels.
So you're getting these sort of almost elastic collisions, and that means that you keep hold of a lot more energy. Does that also mean that if there's a problem, it takes you a lot longer to get rid of the energy to cool everything down?
Actually, it's kind of the reverse. When the PRISM reactor uses metallic fuel, it's in metallic cladding and a metallic coolant called sodium in a metal vessel called the reactor pressure vessel. And that allows us to have air come on the outside and to remove the heat. So when we look at the unique thing with any nuclear power plant is that once we turn it off, it still generates heat from the radioactive decay. And typically that's about 7% when it initially gets turned off. So the PRISM reactor has the ability to remove that heat very easily with air coming on the outside of the reactor vessel, and it can do that not for hours or days or weeks, but forever. And so that's the unique part of the design that we've come up with.
We saw in Fukushima that there was a problem with the coolant and they were able to bring in seawater. Now, the seawater obviously ended up contaminated. It wasn't an ideal situation, lots of steam. And in fact, it was the very hot steam that led to some of the explosions that people early on thought were a meltdown. Presumably, with the sodium, it will just continue to convect and continue to pass that heat out into the air and we'll get lots of hot air, but nothing explosive, nothing building up pressure. So actually, this will be a lot safer.
Yes. So if we look at what happened to Fukushima, they were in an event which we call beyond a station blackout. They lost all of their off-site alternating current, all their on-site alternating current, and all their batteries. And so they had to grapple with those operators to remove that heat, initially at 7% when they turn it off. So the way the PRISM is designed is that when it turns off, the way we remove the heat is we pipe in air right beside the reactor vessel. We have a different design, and that allows us to continuously remove that heat so we don't build it up.
And what fuels can a PRISM reactor actually use? What can you take advantage of?
One of the fuels we can take advantage of is the plutonium that has been separated in the United Kingdom during your reprocessing. And that has a great potential to produce a lot of electricity. The work that I've done in the United States, we looked at using this technology to extract fuel out of our used nuclear fuel. So that's another possibility. And then if you mixed some of our fuel with thorium, you could extract energy that way. So there's a lot of variants that you can do with PRISM as far as extracting energy from big atoms, is what we call it, to produce green electricity.
And what then happens to the fuel in there? Obviously, with traditional plants, you're left with quite radioactive, unpleasant stuff that we have a bit of a problem and a bit of an argument as to how we get rid of it. What's left at the end of the life of a PRISM reactor?
In the PRISM reactor that we have been talking to the U.S. government about, we take the fuel that comes out of the reactor and we do a separations using electricity. Not acids, but electricity. And when we do that separations, we take out what is called fission products. Those are the small atoms that when we break big atoms in half, like cesium, krypton, rubidium, Superman-type materials. And we put the elements that normally occur in nature as a mineral, we put that into a very robust ceramic. And then the other one that are normally as metals, we put that into a metal alloy. And those two waste products, this rock or ceramic and this piece of metal, then after about 300 years or less radioactive than the uranium ore.
So clearly it's a cleaner way of doing this as well, and we're going to have fewer dangerous products at the end of it. What sort of power can we get out of these PRISM reactors? Are they, again, equivalent to the reactors that we're currently seeing in service?
They're a little bit smaller. So what we have proposed for the United Kingdom for the disposition of the plutonium at the Sellafield site would be one PRISM power block, and its total electricity output is about 600 megawatts electric. And that 600 megawatts electric over its lifetime could disposition that plutonium that's currently stored at the Sellafield site.
So not only are you going to generate 600 megawatts of electricity, but you're also going to get rid of or use up or at least make use of a stockpile of plutonium that we currently have just taking up space and being a problem.
Yes, we turn that into an energy asset. We don't look at that plutonium as a waste, and your country's done a very good job of safely storing that plutonium for this future use. And the current policy, as I understand it in the UK, is that they don't want to reprocess or recycle like I described, so they just want to push it through a reactor system such as PRISM, extract some energy, and then place that in a geological repository. Now, if we took the full vision of the full capabilities of this technology, that 100 tons of plutonium could generate between 200 and 500 gigawatts electricity. So there's a great energy potential there, should it be chosen to be used.
Well, thank you very much. That was Dr. Eric Lewin from, he's the chief engineer at GE Hitachi.
And Eric will be with us for the rest of the show, so if you have any questions for him or for us, then get in touch.
You can tweet at Naked Scientists, write on our Facebook wall, or email chris@thenakedscientists.com.